Hey, y'all, on this episode of the Carolina Chuck Podcast, we're going to talk to Mike LaChamp from Annie in the Water. They're going to be playing Brewfest this weekend, so y'all check them out. Be good. Peace out.
Somebody that could, like, bring you into it. So yeah. So Annie in the Water, our band, so I play in a band called Annie in the Water. We started in Watertown, and Winthrop, we had this Airbnb, this, like, super eclectic, weird woman that was Brad's, like, far aunt. But we would stay in Winthrop. Just if we went to Boston, like, we had a solid place to go. But you were straight north,
yeah.
Actually, instead. So Winthrop would be if, like, I went halfway on the rail and then, like, took a hard right. Because, like, you know how, like, and they all, like, bled out at the end of the night, you know? That's, like, we would go on the far outskirts of Winthrop. And Winthrop would be, like, the end of the line of the train, by the way. That's the only thing I remember. But we'd also have to get, like, skateboards and shit to, like, get back to, like, the far end of the beach on fucking Winthrop.
That's awesome.
Yeah, there
Did
was...
check out, like, Lanier Beach when y'all were out around there?
So we played... Paradise Rock Club?
No.
You don't know Paradise... So Paradise Rock Club was, like, one of the bigger... Well, I mean, it's kind of like that... Like, when you're an underground band, like, blowing up, that was a Paradise Rock Club.
Do you ever play in the Alston scene?
Yes.
That's a huge scene.
Yeah, so we did the Alston scene. We did, oh my God, it's like it was a venue. Like, we came through, like, I mean, we made like $40 that night. But it was like the Alston, like the kind of like port town Alston scene. And, oh man, that was like 2012. Yeah, Brad and I used to do, like, but that was like when it was just like Brad and I. So the amalgamation of Annie in the Water has been all over the place.
Really? How long have you ever been together like that?
So Brad and I started out here. We first started out at Sackett's Harbor. So background, and that's actually good information. Background, Brad and I started.
I got the podcast rolling, but I really don't want to get too deep until we get in the cameras rolling. But
No, this is the background stuff.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Like, yeah. The pre-interview.
Yeah. Pre-interview. Which is good because you can, like, if you want to sculpt or anything like that, we can get in this. So actually also, just so it's like the kind of thing is like where it all started. I went to IHC in Watertown, New York.
Okay. So told me that. Yeah.
Yeah. So I graduated 2005 and then I brought my buddy Brad Hester from Hobart College, who played lacrosse too. So Annie in the Water started as Division I lacrosse players. I brought him back over here, to play in, like, because I had such a large network of friends, just like you and my people. Like, I just had a whole network of people. So him and I started in, like, Sackett's Harbor and Alex Bay, and that's how, like, the whole thing started. And then after that, years later, fast forward, we moved over to Albany in Saratoga.
So when you say y'all started playing together, I mean, what did he play? How did the music part start? You know what I mean?
Dual acoustic. So like him acoustic, me acoustic. And actually, interesting enough, like, all my buddies were in the services. So Brad and I used to just play and hack at it in Sackett's. Yeah. And we had, like, people from, like South Shore, Florida, San Diego, like, people in the services that liked what we were doing. And then it was like a contingency of, like, people in the services and then people from, like random people from Clayton, New York that liked what we were doing.
Yeah.
And then suddenly it became a thing, you know?
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, and that's like some early, early shit. I can bring it up close if you want to gain structure or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'll actually put it. That's probably good. Yeah. You look good, Caroline Chuck. Yeah, God damn it. I didn't know you were so good looking. I love this shit.
I fancied it up today. I called my wife. I said, man, get my fancy Hawaiian shirt out today and iron that thing. We're going to look good tonight.
Yeah, flatten it. Flatten it, man.
And
my mom and dad fucking helped me out a little bit too, bud. Yeah. Well, I'm from Ogdensburg, so.
Really? Yeah, is that where you're staying now?
I live in, I have property. Well, so my mom and dad have property, but so the way my grandfather cut it was if you worked on the property, you got equity. So I have, so my parents own we have a river, like a river house, and then I caretake and I do the camp.
Really?
In Ogdensburg, whenever I can get off the road with touring. But Annie in the Water's been, we've been having fun, been doing some stuff. Have you heard anything about my band, by the way?
Really?
And I'm not, like, trying to be, like, naivete or also, like, you know, egotistical or anything.
Yes, no, so I've heard about you, right? I've heard about Annie in the Water since I've been here. And like anything else, I'm not real familiar with, like, people name all these wild, like the Strictly Hip and all that stuff.
Totally.
Yeah, like, yeah. So I didn't know what that was. And the Strictly Hip, I don't, Tragically Hip is the band, right?
Tragically Hip started in, like, right over the river from Clayton.
So much. A story about that. No clue who that was. Never heard of them. So the Strictly Hip is the cover one, right?
Yes, the Strictly Hip, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So I ended up, my buddy Will from the dealership, he was telling me, he's like, you got to go see this. My favorite band growing up. This is the cover band. So we went Opera House to check out that band, and I was like, oh, okay, this is different. You know, it's different. I get it, you know. And then we're hearing about your band since I've been here, right? Mm-hmm. And I heard about Doc Yukon and all these other guys.
Oh, great guys.
So I haven't heard much of what y'all did, right? So since we've been talking, I start watching you on YouTube. You know,
yeah, I'm like, oh, cool, thanks.
I'm like, yeah, okay. I mean, I'm like, I can't wait to see you live because I think the real experience is seeing you guys live.
Yeah, that'll be yours. That'll be yours.
Yeah,
for sure.
I'm really excited about it. Like, everyone around town is telling me about, oh my God, they're playing in Colorado. They're doing this and that and this and that.
Yeah.
They're like nationwide. They're huge. And I'm like, well, God dang, I got to talk to this guy. Well,
the thing that's so interesting too, is like, and I mean, even just like on a homie level, like I think it's really important that you're bringing light to things. And this is my hometown, you know, this is my country. You know, you come from a different place, but for you to bring a sense of vigor and a sense of, or I mean, you know, you have your own like community down there. Like this is my fucking blood.
Right.
I come from a farm like north of here. You know what I mean? So if we can highlight that, you know, and that's what I scouted you, bro.
Yeah.
I did. And I was like, who the fuck is this guy?
Amazing.
I wanted you to say something because, man, the newspapers and stuff, like, and like, don't get me wrong, like, I grew up here. Like, dude, we were in Rolling Stone like, literally 3 fucking weeks ago for a festival and you didn't hear a thing about the Watertown paper. And I'm not trying to be I'm not an egotistical, I'm not, but I'm like, if we're going to say something about what we're trying to accomplish here, we should fucking say something. You know what I mean? That's why I only do interviews around this area with people that I at least have a sense of, you know, trust with, or people that this is a great production. Thank you. You're fucking doing your job.
Yeah.
And the other thing with when I went to 1945, like,
yeah, I was actually watching that live right before you walked in.
That's it,
man.
Through that, like, that's it. The younger generation going to make it happen. Let's make it happen. I'm down to shoot whenever you guys want to shoot, by the way.
Yeah.
Cool.
Oh, yeah. Our
cameras are rolling.
All right.
So,
Mr. Caroline Duck.
Yeah, baby.
Let's go.
What's up?
Let's go.
All right. So, dude, I had Jason Price in here. I like Annie the Water.
Hey, by the way, for the record, I love Jason.
Yes.
Got to give it up for what he's doing, man. Right. That's a very big commitment.
Yep.
And I love him as a friend, and he is putting a very large sense of conviction into what he's accomplished at that barracks, man. It's a very good thing what he's doing.
Yeah, and and the way you were really enthusiastic about playing out there, and I'm like, I'm ready to go. You like, just listening to your live, I was like, oh, man, let's go. Let's check this out. But no, Brewfest and Annie in the Water, I'm like, God dang, these are the biggest things out here, right? I was like, I got to check these things out. So I called Jason. I'm nervous to call him. I'm like, bro, I don't know if he's going to want to do this. You know, I said 6 months ago, this was at my dining room table. And he gladly came on and we got to promote it. And I'm continuously promoting it. And, dude, I'm super happy that you showed up. I mean, this is pretty
cool. Yeah, well, I appreciate you guys making the time, man, because you both made time. We all made the time, you know, but this is it's an important thing. I think it's, you know, I just want as many people there. And also, there is a, there's a lot of different components to what this is, too. You know, Jason and Pat. Just for the record, they've done a lot of work to facilitate this. I mean, this is, it's a thing you don't get paid for, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's the extra amount of work and effort that you put into it. And, this is also a fundraiser, which is a supplementary part of this festival for Cam Carpenter, who is a, beautiful young girl who is, doing as much as she can, in her own pathway to take on brain cancer, and that's what we're also contributing towards. So This is a multifaceted thing, and I came from, you know, Watertown, and I've met these people, I've talked to these people, and I think what is happening, what's being built here, is something within the Madison Barracks, which is right next to the Saint, the Lake Ontario area.
Yeah,
we have so many attributes that are so incredibly powerful, like just as landscapes, you know, and for you to be obviously like pushing this and obviously putting blood into this and enthusiasm, it's something bigger than us, you know, and I'm so happy to come back home with my band. You know, yes, we travel all over the country, but my roots are here, you know, like I wrote these songs. I wrote Annie the Water songs about the fact that I got my heart broken in high school in 2006, you know what I mean? Uh-huh. And I was on this, I went to Lake Ontario and I fucking cried, or I skateboarded along with my dog that I just buried, you know what I mean? Like these are fundamental things that are so inherent with this area. And also with Jason putting this in, and he's putting his blood in there, and Pat is too. And it's just, it's one of those things where I grew up in this area, and you start to see something expand, and you can be like, shouldn't this work? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you know what I'm talking about. You came from a different part of the country.
Right.
You know?
I've felt that since I've touched down. So to me, it's almost, I don't know. It's since I've got here, and the problem is I'm seeing a lot of people from here. Like, I meet a lot of people, new people every day at the dealership. They're like, oh man, what are you thinking coming up here?
Dude, I never fucking feel that.
Right, right. So I I'm like, dude, I've had nothing but love shown to me since I've touched down here. I was like, this is a great place. And that's what this whole thing's about. I keep discovering absolutely really cool things about the place, and I would like to highlight it, you know, because I ended up getting a voice up here, you know, and that wasn't intentional or didn't know where it came from. And I decided to do something with it. Right. So I started this and I mean, dude, I'm running into like super touching things. Like the lady you were just talking about, the girl that the brain cancer, somebody reached out to me before I even knew this whole Brute thing was about her, and like broke my heart with it. You know what I mean?
It is. And she's
like,
fighting me right now, man. But dude, it, I feel like that's one of the things. Like I moved away from this area. If I could live in this area and have a national touring band with Annie in the Water, I have my cabin, I have my camp up in the St. Lawrence River, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that's my own personal space. But I have a commitment to travel all over the country right now.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, man, I have sledded around these areas. I've snowboarded around these areas. I've snowshoed in the deepest of fucking snow in these areas. I don't know if there's like a contractual thing about swearing or anything.
I mean,
either way,
he's got.
We can do it on the back end, but we'll add it on the back end. But like, I fish these are deep blood rooted parts of my culture. You know what I mean? And I think that's like why I was so, like, I'm so happy to be on this and like grateful to be on this, because I can genuinely tell that, man. And I always tell people, I'm like, it's all about your disposition. It's all about your sense of urgency. It's all about your sense of personal conviction or excitement or enthusiasm, man. And like, I saw that when I saw this production that you put together, you know, and even through the internet, because I had a couple people like refer me and everything, I'm like, I will talk to that guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well,
it's true, man, because you're seeing the highlights of this area, man. I have surfed on a surfboard on Lake Ontario. I have snowboarded deep powder here. I have fished in ice. I have fished in beautiful rain conditions, early morning conditions at my camp. I have hiked all the trails in this area. I have ate and drank up and down this coastline, and there are so many attributes to here. And I just want this festival and everything that you're talking about to contribute to the attributes and the assets that this area has. I'm so sick of hearing about people complain about the cold or whatever. There are so many assets in this area that we should all be highlighting. And I love that you are actually tapping into that and you're taking advantage of that. And that's what it's about. That's all it's about. That's literally all it's about, man. All it's about.
And weirdly enough, I had a conversation earlier today with someone who I don't really want to say it on air, but
you don't have to.
We'll throw
have
it
to.
On the yeah, podcast. Yeah, yeah. Maybe,
yeah,
yeah. Maybe.
Yeah, you don't have to though. You know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, so there was a kid graduated from Lowellville that just got drafted by the Yankees.
Oh, right on.
Right. He's a local guy. And they only did like a 2-minute piece on the news for him. And yeah. I've been trying to get a hold of this guy. I just talked to his dad a little while ago, and he's going to get me hooked up with him.
Yeah.
Freaking local kid that just got drafted by the Yankees. And that's what his dad said. He's like, nobody, they didn't even care enough. He's like, we're not vain or anything.
You know, it's not that. And it's not that either. And like, and also the thing is, like, I'm not trying to push my agenda.
Yeah.
I'm trying to acclimate to the fact that I would like my spirit that started here and went to something else to come back and highlight this area. You know what I mean? And that's all it comes around to be. And I think sometimes within this space of, you know, Watertown and everything, there becomes a different generational thing. And I'm not trying to obviously like toot on that horn, but that's why I want to jump on here and talk about Brewery Nork and what Jason and Pat are trying to do. And also like what Danny and Laura are trying to do is we genuinely like, we all have such unique assets and gifts. And I think the water actually has a reciprocal spiritual response to different individuals, whether you're in Clayton, whether you're in Alex Bay, whether you're in, you know, Cape Vincent, whether you're in Pillar Point, whether you're down in the mouth of it or whatever, there's something very special around here. And I think what's really like important is that we can embrace this and we can say, well, how can we share our gifts, our attributes, or our sense of conviction, or our creativity, or our intellect to enhance this area, you know, because you're dead right with that statement you said. Like, ever since I was a kid here, it's like, oh, the winter suck and everything. I was like, I can't, like, I've had the most beautiful days of my life with my dog going all along all these properties, and they were the most beautiful, most important days of my life, you know?
I came from a place that there ain't never a white Christmas, just saying. Like, that's so freaky. I get tickled to death when it snows. Like, I'm like, wow, it's freaking snowing. You know what I mean? Like, I've never in my life experienced what it was like to have a white Christmas, even though we had a blizzard not too long ago. But that was pretty cool. I mean, I was like, I never in my life thought I'd have to face a blizzard. And I just thought it was the coolest thing. You know, I'm not sick of the snow. I really don't get sick of the snow. The cold really doesn't bother me. I mean, the people, dude, the people are really, really, I mean, they're showing me all this love, man. It's just crazy. And I'm glad you touched on the water thing. I think there's something really common about being by the water. I don't know if it's some kind of way deep primal thing that you're next to a resource or something, but everybody that I've had on this show is I've met somehow, I've communicated with somehow because of a vibe they gave me, right? Like I can't really explain what it is.
Yeah.
It's like I got to talk to that. Something about this guy. I don't know what it is about it, but I got to get this guy on here and communicate with him. And that's kind of what I felt with you too.
No, totally. And then, like I think what's like such so appealing is that and like I said, it's I also think there's a generational like opportunity that we all have, you know, to see the world in kind of a different light, you know? Yeah. And I think that's like what was been like really cool about it. I was like, oh, like Caroline Chuck, I was like, this makes a lot of sense. You know what I mean? Like this seems like a really cool thing. So, like, yeah, like on a wrap up, I'll tell you what, it's a pleasure to be here. And it's also, I'm glad you're here. You know what I mean? I also am like super grateful to be here too. I get to hang out with my family in Ogdensburg, shoot down here and do an interview. And, I was on 92.5 and they had a great time with Jason Price. You know, yeah. I also wanted to give a shout out. So one of the big things I want to give a shout out to is Pat and Jason with, Brew York. They've done a substantial job to make that production happen and bring something good here to, the area, so which is going to be happening Saturday. Yeah. I know. By the way, forefront. We're going to have a podcast going out tomorrow. So the video might be after the festival. We'll keep them up to date.
Yeah. So look, I got to ask you about Annie in the Water.
You asked me whatever question you would like to ask me, Caroline.
Okay, so so you got together with your buddy.
Yes. Brad Hester. So he was a Division I lacrosse player at Hobart College. This is circa 2007, and I played lacrosse here in Watertown for IHC.
You know what's cool about you talking about lacrosse is I literally learned about lacrosse right here. I had I told you about him. Nate Jobson.
Exactly.
And he came in here and educated me on lacrosse. I'm like,
Nate's a great cat, man.
Yeah,
he's good guy.
Cool with that. Yeah, he works with me now. And so he invited me to come check out box lacrosse, and they're going to the freaking national championship. That's amazing.
Dude, his passion with what he does is, I still have that t-shirt, man. I still have that t-shirt that I wear back when I'm on the road and when I travel and stuff. And Nate is a genuinely very passionate guy. Yeah. He puts a lot of effort into it. So yeah, anyway, so I was born and raised in Cleveland, Ohio, actually, in the Midwest. But my grandfather and grandmother are from Ogdensburg. They have a farm country up there. So when I was done with school in Cleveland, we would go up to Ogdensburg. We'd literally drive up, and we would work on the farm. We would mow. We would do whatever we had to do. But I became obsessed with Casey Powell and Ryan Powell. They were lacrosse players at Carthage. Mm-hmm. From Carthage, that went to Syracuse. And this was, 1998, 1999. And then so...
How old are you?
I'm 38.
I'm 38.
Yeah, well, there you go, bro. There you go. That's
86,
it.
Baby.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Wait, when 1986?
May 28th.
I was June 25th.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
There's something there.
You old son of a bitch. So anyway, but when I was in Cleveland, I started like messing with the cross. Mm-hmm. And then that was kind of my... But my grandmother, my grandfather were passing away, and we had an obligation as a big Irish family to obviously like take care of the property and due diligence. So we moved from big city back up here to Watertown. So we moved to Watertown. So we would go and do whatever we needed to do. And this is great. I've never talked about this actually publicly. This is a really cool thing. I appreciate you actually holding the space for this. This is a very kind thing for you to do. So anyway, my family came from Cleveland, and we came up here, and I would, me and my brother and my mom and my father and everybody else, we would go and work on the property in Ogdensburg until my grandmother and grandfather passed away, and I stayed in the area. I went to high school here, so I graduated high school in IHC in 2005, and I was a lacrosse player, played Division I lacrosse, and went to a particular program, and then Brad had linked up with Ricky Evans. Ricky Evans, when you're watching this, I know that. And that's right. Ricky. I'll tell you what, Ricky.
Come on,
yeah,
Ricky.
You're gonna love that. Ricky Evans, Richard. I used to call him Richard Evans. I hope the gain structure is really opened up on that thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, Ricky Evans set me up with Brad Hester in Hobart College. And so we went to the St. Lawrence River. Mm-hmm. So we went, and this is the real Annie in the Water story, how Annie in the Water actually happened. Because actually the rest of the band calls it Annie is a conspiracy. So if you ask anybody randomly in the band what Annie in the Water means, they actually make up a completely different freaking story, which is kind of fun.
Yeah,
you know,
it's kind of fun.
So Brad played lacrosse at Hobart, and my buddy Ricky Evans from high school was like, Mike, why don't you come over? He's got this song called Ohio, because I was born and raised in Ohio, Cleveland, Ohio, but worked on the farm when I could. And Brad was from Ohio, and he had this beautiful song called Ohio. And my buddy Ricky Evans like, well, why don't you come out and like hang out with them? So I went and hung out with Ricky and them all night. Brad and I link up at like 3 a.m. and we played Ohio, and we'd never played together. We played Ohio, and all the guys in the dorm room just like, you know what I mean? Like you could tell like something was happening.
Going on,
And this is like circa like 2006, you know?
Yeah.
And you could watch it happen, you know? And so Brad and I, we're trying to figure things out anyway. Over the couple of years, we recorded a bunch of songs, got thousands of plays, but we had no name. Brad was like, what do you think of Annie Largo? That's sweet. But then I was like, well, if you want to start gigging, if we want to start like making something happen, I have some contacts. So we went to Sackett's. We went to like the Boathouse in Sackett's Harbor.
Yeah, okay.
You know? Yeah. And they put us on the back deck, and they were like, yeah, play a show for 4 hours. And Brad was like, okay. We play for 4 hours, you know, yeah. You know, like you take like two breaks and like get food and like drink beer and everything. We strictly played and hacked it for like 4 fucking hours. Wow, man. Pardon my French. Yeah. We just like hammered it for 4 hours, but we learned eventually. So we started in there in Top of the Bay and Alex Base. Shout out to Steve Calvario and Andy and Vince over at the Riverboat. And we just like slowly, you know, kind of grew it up. And then eventually we shifted over. We kind of moved over to Albany. Now we do like national tours, like you were talking about, you know, we do the Carolinas, we do the Colorados, we do New York cities and the Portland stuff, but everything that is Annie in the Water, it really originated in a completely amalgamated, intimate thing within this 20 mile radius.
What made you go to Albany?
So I played lacrosse at Siena College too. So, I had in my my contacts and also like where I grew up was up here. So I knew that we would get shows in Alex Bay and Sagatts Harbor and all that other stuff. And I was like, well, I have my college lacrosse mates too in Albany. I was like, if we go to Albany, there's a bunch of venues, like bigger venues. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is Albany's like a hub. If you look at Albany on a map, it's kind of like you can traverse over to Boston. You can traverse over to Buffalo. You can traverse back upstate here, no problem. Mm-hmm. You could traverse down to Woodstock. You could traverse down to New York City. You could go New Hampshire, Burlington. Yeah. And so it was a hub. And it was just a logistical situation. Okay. And also I played lacrosse there. I had I was acclimated there. And I also had an awareness of contact. So it really comes down to that. It's like, who do you know and who can you play for?
Yeah,
you know
what I
mean? As you know. Yeah. Just like as you're doing right now.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
So that was a thing. So it's kind of like a really convoluted thing. I can't give like obviously like a perfect kind of like chronological thing, but the most important thing is Annie in the Water is incredibly branded and acclimated to this area. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's what I think is like so great that I appreciate you being like obviously privy to that and whoever, you know, has talked to you and like kind of like, you know, shared that with you and you bringing me on. It's just, it means a lot because I, as much as I've moved away from this place, like it is so within my like human DNA, you know?
And the thing is it helps me too. And I try to also bring on people that are not necessarily from here, but have visited or are here actively, but from different places, because they give you a different perspective on, like, everybody that I've brought here that is from other places absolutely love this place. And they give totally. The same experience. They're like, this is better in this place because where we're from, they were shooting and stuff every day. And I was like, the worst thing you're going to have is some, you know, people come talk to you on the streets that are, or whatever. But I like having people that aren't just here all the time, that have gone out and seen other places and understand why this place is really nice. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that totally. Makes sense? No, totally. Like, and even like the connection that we made, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like it, cause that's the thing is like, nobody has like, it, wouldn't it be so fucking, or wouldn't be boring.
It's too late now.
Yeah. Yeah. Post, bro. Shink. Wouldn't it be boring?
Yeah.
Yeah. I've done too many interviews. I've gotten in trouble for that. That's okay. Yeah. There's no contractual binding situation. Yeah. That's okay. Yeah. Good. Well, I'll sign all three of them if you want. Yeah.
At the beginning.
Yeah. Totally. So anyway, sorry. I appreciate your patience, but, well, the thing that's like really interesting is it really comes down to that. You know what I mean? Like my whole family's Irish too, you know, mm-hmm. and I think there's such an important thing about like culture. You know what I mean? Like if I was like, so like if you flip the mirror, like if I was to come down to your, where you came from,
yeah,
you know what I mean? And if you invited me into your family system, mm-hmm. A, I'm sure I'd do great. B, I would eat very well.
Yes.
Correct?
Yes.
But at the same time, I would also like, there's a certain openness that would allow me to culturally like acclimate, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I think obviously having my roots in Ogdensburg, which is, you know, a North Country place, mm-hmm. but also then also growing up in Cleveland, Ohio, but coming back, like I had the mix. I had a very small town. I had a farm. I had a riverfront, kind of like upstate New York understanding mixed with a multi-diverse Cleveland, Ohio being a very multi-diverse place that I grew up until I was 12 and I came back up. And so when you have those kind of like awarenesses,
yes, exactly.
You're able to like also just be open, man. And I think like one of the things that's so important as like a person is if you're open and you're at least like, you know, intriguing or intrigued, like you have an opportunity to learn, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like, I thought that was like so cool. Like even when like we kind of like both like linked up on that and that's like one of the things that I always like, I say that, and there's so many people that, or whoever listens to this podcast when it goes out and when this production goes out and everything, there's going to be particular people that are going to resonate with this so hard, you know what I mean? That are from this area, that are born and raised from this area, like indefinitely, that were born and raised from here. There's going to be other people that came in from here that can understand that, you know? Like I said in the beginning, like, I mean, I have hunted through here, I have hiked through here, I have snowboarded through here, I have, it's something that we should, I've lived the hardest winters.
Yeah.
That for me were the most uplifting things ever. Some of the coldest winters were some of the most invigorating things of my soul and my spirit, you know?
Yeah.
And like, and just like full circle to what you're saying is the people that like do not have the best things to say around here. I would just, you know, say, well, what is your sense of conviction? Like what is your personal, you know, motivation? And like, not in like a way of like being like, oh, what on you?
Yeah.
This place has such a bountiful amount of assets, like landscape wise and people. And I've just, the one thing I've always learned in my life is like, what is your opportunity? Yeah. What is like, period. Like, what is your opportunity? Is your opportunity to grow in a certain space, is have a conversation, you know? And I'm just so happy that you can kind of come into this space and just, you know, really kind of like, kind of right off the bat, like, you know, kind of be like, well, let's start rolling, you know, let's start going, let's start doing it, you know?
It was a lot of anxiety, I ain't gonna lie. I felt like I was in a whole different country when I got here, bro. I was like, what is all this? And look, we had this guy, he came up and he was talking so fast. I was like, man, I hope they all don't talk like that up here, you know?
It depends on your quadrant.
Yeah.
Well, you got Theresa, you got Shimo, you got Watertown, you got Plaska, Augsburg, where I'm from, tell you what.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, there's some people that like,
I'm like, man, you from where I'm from?
Dude, dude, if you catch me in Augsburg, you're gonna be like, what dialect is Michael LeSean talking right now? I'm telling you, it's real. But you acclimate, you know.
So I wanna ask you more about the band, but dude, I really kinda wanna know more about you.
I appreciate it. Yeah. I'm down to talk about whatever, man.
So there's a couple things that people have told me about you. Some yoga stuff?
Yes.
What is the yoga? Is that something you do around here?
Or? Yeah, so, well,
that's, I mean, this was a quick conversation. Somebody said, oh, he does this yoga thing and some other stuff.
Yeah, well, if you ask, like, certain people, you'll probably get a different dimension of myself, and I feel like that we are like that, you know?
Right.
So one of the
Because I've always been curious about yoga.
And I respect that. I travel a lot, man. Like, I'll tell you what, I do downward dog and upward. I do what I need to stretch my body when I'm on the road. I travel on the road a lot.
Yeah. You know? There's a lot of riding.
Yeah. Dude, one thing I've learned is open up your hips, open up your shoulders, man, open your chest cavity. Yeah. Like, don't let gunk build up. Okay. That's one thing I learned. Yoga taught me that. But the other thing is I started, so my dog, my dog just passed away, but
how long ago?
Yeah, it was a week ago.
It's okay.
It's all good, man. Like, but I've always had dogs in my life and when I first learned to play guitar, I was like, how would I play in a way that was therapeutic for my dog to fall asleep? You know, the dog before that I had, which was Annie, but not the Annie and the water dog, but, and then my dog Tess, who was my companion, and it was, it was a way for me to learn how I could play therapeutically, you know, like, but also like in a way that could be a dynamic
to another way, animal,
to another animal, wow, another, or another like, person, you know, yeah, and I would do it for my dog. And then, myself and Brad like started playing music, you know? So I already had this kind of awareness of how to provide some sort of therapy to, like, I always wanted to play my guitar to let my dogs go
from
to
what
sleep.
I've seen too, you're an incredible guitar player.
Thank you, man. I do try. Well, I mean,
it's, you don't, it's, try. Yoda said,
yeah, it, you know, no, you're try, right. Actually, you know, you're right. I don't try. It just, yeah, it is like, you just are, yeah, everybody is, you know, yeah, we figured out. So as time went on, I was playing with Brad Hester and we started doing these events and I could, we could just like kind of vibe and it started being this like really, like kind of like vibey thing, smaller shows, you know, like you just kind of, I don't know how to explain it. You just kind of do it, you know. Some of them are like, you smash them. You're like, you want a Bruce Springsteen cover? Here you go, yeah, you know. But then there are these other shows, like you would just like play this really ethereal kind of thing and everybody would just kind of level out. So I started getting into yoga about like 8 years ago and one of the practitioners was like, well, Michael, what if you play guitar for it? And I play guitar for it. And the head of the yoga studio said, I want you to come back and do that more often. So then when I was with Brad Hester, my bandmate, mm-hmm, we kind of started using that, but we started using like pedals and speakers and amps and frequencies, like, you know, like augmenting and producing it. So like having, you know, a sound frequency.
This is going to sound weird. I mean, maybe not you, but, I get up in the morning and because I liked my day to start off like you, to me, I focus on positivity. You know what I mean? Like totally. I want everything to, there's no use for negative stuff. So I was like, I got to figure out how to make positives for, you know, just to feel
cultivate good, like your own practices.
Yeah. So there's on SiriusXM, they got the spa channel. Dude, yeah. I swear to God, channel 68 on there. I throw on the spa music and it just, and just carry my phone around doing my morning stuff. And sometimes I'll drive to work and listen to it. And I don't know. I need it. Then I listen to like gangster rap or something later.
No, well, it's all vibe, man. Yeah. It's all vibe. And yeah, it's good that you bring that up too, because I always tell people, I'm like, whatever your modality is, but every day, you know, it doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be, because I feel like so many people are like trying to grab onto some sort of morning practice. Mm-hmm. And I say like, whatever you feel like emotionally or intellectually or,
yeah,
you know, or like excitedly, you know, yeah, and even if you're in that weird, like kind of like zone, like don't overjudge yourself, just like let it play out, you know? And so every morning I actually do a different meditation and that's my own practice, you know? So I started cultivating that and bringing that into yoga studios and doing sound healing. So I've done sound healing practices all over the country.
Define different meditation.
It really like comes down to what you, I always tell people like check in with like their own, like, you know, whether it could be like a different energetic level within your body. Cause like, you know, like when you're like really highly mentally anxious, like you feel like your brain can't shut off.
Mm-hmm.
So that means like there's a lot of collective energy within your, you know, your upper energetic fields, if you will, or yeah, just your head, you know, who I fucking like, cares, yeah, yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
yeah, but there, it can be an expansion, it can be a pressure system, so mm-hmm, it feels like heavy. So that means I could probably bring the focus down to a different space, which could be a grounding space. You have a very good grounding energy. Honestly, you do. And I feel like that's why you're very pure. And I feel like that's where you're very genuine, because you're actually very grounded in your own self. You're grounded in your own. And that's like, we're talking about roots. We've talked about roots the whole time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's an earth energy. It's a root energy.
Yeah.
So it really comes down to like, so myself, I've gone through different things within, you know, being, you know, a competitive athlete to, you know, music to also being like within the corporate environment, things like that. There's a pendulum.
Corporate
There's,
environment. What does that mean?
I used to do national team building. I still do. I contract that out for different things. I don't do it as much because I'm prioritizing anymore. So I don't want to get, I don't want to tangent too much. It's okay.
I got ADHD bad, bro.
Hey, what's going on? How you doing? Yeah. We're good. Yeah. I think we're all there, by the way.
Yeah.
So, but that's the thing is like, even that moment, like right there, we can check on that. You know what I mean? And I just realized that there's checks and balances that we have, and you can tell what those are. So I started, I mean, I'd gone through a whole slew of stuff, but I started realizing that the music can be presented in a multifaceted way. Mm-hmm. It has a way of being therapeutic, has a way of being entertaining, has a way of being really like bridling and like jolting, you know, yeah. And
some
intense.
Of the guitar riff, or like I was listening. It was on YouTube. It was like an hour and some change worth of music. I was live, and I was listening to it this morning, and yeah, it was like just like you're saying, it was like, and then
yeah, and it's, I mean, like, and we all like,
sounds made sense, but
no, they do because sometimes I want to kind of bring things down, and sometimes. Yeah. I want to have it feel like an emotional jackhammer, and not to like, you know, be too like
too heavy, but it was
too heavy or convicting.
For like, I don't know, dude. It's really cool. It's really
thanks,
cool.
Man. Yeah. Well, then that's the coolest thing is like, and that the coolest part is that like it all kind of comes from this area. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But I've been exposed to so many different things, traveling and touring and stuff like that. And I also have my own personality, which is it's subconsciously pretty intense. But at the same time, like I have these things that I've learned, I picked up from this area that I can share. And I think like, you know, like kind of like wrapping up like what you asked is like the, you know, the yoga sense. And like, it really is my sense of experience and my sense of conviction. But I've gone through my things, and if I can, it's like kind of like molding. You can kind of tell, you always got to play to your audience. And that's like the biggest thing. You know how to have conversations with whoever. You probably have people come in here before that could be a bump on the log or out of their minds, and you got to be like, let's taper this thing down, or like give them something to say.
Yeah.
You play to your audience, you know?
Right.
And I do it in either an emotional, intellectual, or spiritual or vibrational way, you know? It's like when we all have those attributes. It's just, you know, I think that's when you ask these people about, hey, do you know Mike Lachome? They maybe might know me from a different context. Yeah, when I lived here or seen me in a professional manner, you know?
Yeah. That's, dude, that's awesome. I also heard that you had some psychic powers. Is that true?
I do astrology. So, I went, I ended up having, I wouldn't actually call them psychic power. Totally. And I understand where you're coming from, and I appreciate that. It's an intuition. It was something that I had, you know, premonitions when I was younger as a kid. I didn't know how to really handle them, but life will hand you lemons. You know what I mean? And like you make either like, you know, soup or soda, you know?
So,
and so I ended up having an experience where I learned, I wanted to really make sense of like a bad relationship that went down, you know?
Okay.
And so I went to a different person. I went to psychics, I went to palm readers and everything, but I went to an astrologer, and they presented me this like, you know, astrology chart. And I never believed in astrology. And that's the thing is like, I was like, astrology is bull. You know, I was like, I don't believe in this.
Right.
And then somebody gave me a real reading, and it was like the lights just went ping. And I just knew it, and I studied it. And then it was like a year and a half later, I'd be at like a wedding, like just like messing around and like just reading people's charts and stuff. And I would have a line of people wanting to get like astrology readings, you know? And so after a while, I started realizing that I had like, you know, a sense of intuition.
Mm-hmm.
But it also depends, like there's so many factors on that, you know? And it's kind of a different part of my musical experience, but, my intention is to, for myself, my client, or whoever I'm working with, to come into a container and, you know, allow whatever comes through. You know, that's the intention, and that's my work. With Annie in the Water, I've been working and touring so much that I haven't been able to do it as much the past 8 months. But it's a whole nother offering,
it's a whole
for
nother
sure.
Thing.
Yeah,
and I mean, I don't know about astrology and stuff like that, but I am becoming keen on manifesting things, right?
Totally, yeah, like, yeah.
There's a million examples, but I'm going to give you the lightest one. So I got invited to be a part of the Real Men Wear Pink, a cancer thing.
Yes, you absolutely.
I'm not real familiar with the whole process with the cancer thing. Like my dad had cancer, but he's fine now. I just never really seen it like firsthand, I guess you'd say. Yeah. But like I said, I got this voice. The first year I was invited, I was like, I don't really know, you know, kind of busy. The second year, which is just recently, I was like, you know what? I'm going to do things because a little kid wanted my autograph. You know what I mean?
Totally.
And I felt way undeserving of doing that. Like, I'm like, all right, I got to do something to give. I got to earn this somehow, you know? I'm real self-conscious, I guess, about even this. I'm like, every time I do a great show, I'm like, oh, my God, you know? But anyways, so I figured I would get a part of this Real Men Wear Pink. So just like a couple days ago, I think it was raining out. I think maybe it was Saturday or something. I don't remember. A couple days ago, I had talked to these people. I'd set up this thing. We're going to do this thing for the Real Men Wear Pink and earn some money. Everything's going good. I've talked to a couple different people to set this thing up, and everything is going extra smooth with this setting this project up. Which is crazy. You know, things just don't go so smooth, you know?
Oh, I don't know if you would say everything doesn't go so smooth.
Well, listen what happens. So I'm at work. I'm talking to a couple people on the phone, and all that's getting set up. I go outside. It's raining. There's this lady out there by the car, and she's looking at cars. I go out and talk to her. She's a little bit older, and she doesn't look well. And I talked to her a little bit. She's like, this is my second day car shopping. So I said, well, it's raining. You know, I can help you. We can go through, you know, we can organize it. If we sit down at my desk, we'll figure out where you want to be at, what you need to drive, whatever. So I get her inside, bro, and oh, my gosh, she's dying. She's got two kinds of cancers. And I was literally just blown away. I was like, all right, I'm not gonna be able to sell you anything I don't know how to do my job, but I sit there and talk to her, bro. It was like, she's like, I'm gonna get some money because my ex-husband passed away, but the money I'm gonna get is gonna cancel out my freaking insurance.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, anything that good happens to me, something worse happens back. And I'm sitting here just like, damn. And like, not that I didn't have motivation to do something before, totally, but this was within hours.
Oh, totally.
I'm like, dude, you know, she's like, I've got like less than 4 years. My doctor's, I'm like, this is insane. Like that we're having this conversation. And then I'm still trying to help her like figure out, she's like, I got to have a reliable car.
Yep.
Like, I can put you in a reliable car, but I literally want you to just tell me what you want. Totally. You know what I mean? Well, I don't want to even, like, I don't know what to do. And she is just like, bro, and it was this one of the other sad things she said. She was like, I've always wanted to get to the point in my life where, I don't want to say it's sad, but it's sad to me. She's like, I always wanted to be able to walk into a store and pick something out because I thought it was nice. And
like
because
a luxury.
I had the money. Yeah. But she's like, but now I got to live the rest of my life like really penny pinching. And I'm like, I have never just been like absolutely just stunned and changed. But then again, like I felt like I'm going to use that for positive. You know what I mean? Like
absolutely. Like, well, you know, so it's funny that you even brought that up because I used to do corporate sales for Time Warner Cable. I used to do cable sales, stuff like that.
Okay.
And I actually quit when I had a woman call in who was terminally ill with cancer. And I had a manager, actually. Mm-hmm. So I had a listen-in. And this was when I was doing Annie in the Water. I took a break with it because, mm-hmm. you know, you think, I've been so driven by my, you know, creativity, but the intellectual part of it that says you need to have a real fucking job and you need to do this and you need to do that mm-hmm. to accomplish your retirement and all these things.
Yeah.
I let that in my brain, and that's a toxic, it's a sickening thing.
I know what you're,
and unfortunately, exactly what you even mean. With her too, yeah. These are conscious things that are we unfortunately have to live with. These mm-hmm. are things that we're told they're not ours. Mm-hmm. They're toxic energies, and I don't also want to get too into that because we're going to keep this thing nice and copacetic.
Yeah, yeah.
But unfortunately, that lives in people's psyches, and that's not fair. Mm-hmm. You know, we live in a world that people should have a sense of conviction to do what they want to do and develop what they want to do and have a sense of abundance that they should. And that's also blockages and things that happen. That's a whole nother conversation. But we have an opportunity within our resources to either help people and invigorate people or live in our own place and shut it down. You know, mm-hmm. and you were sitting there in a compassionate space and you were looking to help this woman out. Same thing happened with me when I was at Time Warner Cable and I wrote a song. It's called Change My Mind. Andy Noir Changed My Mind. You can look it up on Spotify. And I was in Time Warner Cable sales and this woman, it was been running through the ringer, terminally ill with cancer. She's like, I just want to get my bill down. And I was like, you know what? I got you. I've got you right now. After people are like, Mike, you got to sell. And I have people, Mike, you got to sell. You got to get her back into a sales conversation. Mm-hmm. And I remember looking at my manager and I was like, you really think I'm going to do this? And I threw him right in the face. I was like, I could give you a hook right now. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. But at the same time, I was like, don't worry, darling. It's going to be okay. You're going to be fine. We're going to do this for you. Blah, 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 blah. Here's your package. I was going to send you off. And I clicked it off. And my sales manager was like, what are you doing? And I was like, if you think that I'm going to try and portray this dichotomy onto this dying woman right now, you are absolutely wrong. And I packed up my shit and I walked out the door and I said, and the CEO, and actually, like, believe it or not, like, we actually became friends, which was really cool because he didn't talk to anybody else in the sales thing. Yeah. And he goes, well, where are you going? I was like, well, I was going to do my outro thing. And he was like, fuck. He's like, fine, she'll talk to you. Like, I could tell that he was like upset that I was leaving, you know, because you got to have a sense of integrity, man. Yeah. You know,
and I want to be clear: the Capreras are really
No, but I can tell. No, yeah. And I'm not impeding on that.
They fit me really.
No,
well,
totally. You know, you were trying to set something up. Like, in no way did I have that. Say that there's an impeding thing. My situation and yours are very. And you know what? Thank you, Caprera. Wait, which is the camera? Caprera. Thank you. No, actually, you know, the Capreras do a great thing. And shout out to the Davidson Auto Group for doing a great job to sponsor the event for the Brew York Festival. That's super, super appreciated, by the way, too. A lot. That's the one thing I'll tell you what. All these automotive groups in the North Country, they actually do a lot of work to help this place out. Really, and I will remember that for the rest of my life.
All of them.
Actually. That's it. They do. They do. And they all have their own families. They all got their own properties. They all got their own sense of culture. Mm-hmm. And that is something that I will gladly appreciate, you know. But like I said, in that scope, like, I was like, no, I'm out, you know. And like, in that scope too, it's like, and that's the thing with business that I tell people, and then I brought into Annie in the Water and how we do business now, is you have to have a sense of integrity. You have to have a sense of culture. You have to have a sense of spiritual practice. You don't have to, but you really want to allow people to have an openness to communicate their feelings, whether it's your business or your band or your music or your bakery or your jewelry or your vendorship. It doesn't matter, you know? And I think that's, like, you know, really important that you went through that process and you're like, well, what can I do? You know, rather than get out of here. You know what I mean? Or like, well, we're going to slap you with this and you know, you're going to have also credit line of that over top of it that you didn't know about. We got an extra 5%. You didn't do that. You're like, what can I do to help this out? And I know that your bosses and everybody is going to really appreciate this conversation.
Yeah.
Genuinely, if you have a good ethical business model and like, and that's the thing with, like, either with Annie in the Water and the businesses that I do work with up here as a bandmate and all my contacts up here, like, there's a difference between a communal and ethical process and the world out there that can be so cutthroat. And I don't know how much I subscribe to that. I think like, my grandfather was Bill Farrand of Farrand Flowers back in Ogdensburg, New York. And he had a business model that was like 1953. And I swear to God, like, I say this to the day I die, and in the water, for my personal reason, I feel like I'm functioning like a good communal business ethic model from 1953, because I feel like that's when it was a very purely empirically communal driven thing. It's important. It's so important. At the same time, that's my own prerogative. So yeah. I can't push that too hard, you know?
So dude, I got to ask a couple questions about Annie in the Water.
Of course. I'm here. So I'm here for it, bro.
I want to know what is one of the, probably the most fun events you've ever played. I want to know hands down, what was the most exciting time you've been on the stage and where?
Oh, this is great. Okay. Whew. That's a good question, man. There's so many.
I'm sure there is.
It depends on standing out.
One that was standing out.
I think the most important one that was standing out was most recently. We actually got, we played at Northlands Music Festival in New Hampshire. It's the most recent one because Annie in the Water, we've started to hit a trajectory of a national level, which is really exciting. And Northlands Music Festival is a massive festival. You know, Goose plays there. Very large jam bands, like we're talking, you know, multinational, international jam bands. And they gave us the Thursday opening slot, and we were out for blood, dude, you mm-hmm. know? And we had the stage, and it had the whole lighting and thing, and it just packed out, and people were just like on this thing.
I think this is the one I watched.
The one you watched was the Northlands Music Festival.
Yeah, it was cool looking. It looked like you were in an octopus.
Yeah. And it was just like, you know, it was just like one of those things where I think we all like had this mindset of like, let's just be out for, like, let's just do what I want fucking for. Yes. You know what I mean?
Okay.
And so we just smashed it. Like, you know, when I got off the stage, like I almost passed out. I like laid down on the ground. I'm like almost about to throw up, and I'm like sober as a bird, but you know, it was just, we smashed it 2 hours straight, highlighted thing, hundreds of people, you know, like 1,000 people really like out there for it. And then like first thing that came up is like, you know, Rolling Stone magazine for like an interview. And I didn't realize it, you know what I mean? But, and the next thing you know, we got a Rolling Stone like article about it, which was really, we had a release online that we were interviewed from it. You know,
really?
Yeah, we were.
Dude, that's freaking.
Yeah, that. Hey. Yeah, right after that. Hey. So that was released about a month
that's
ago.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and it was great, but it was like so much so fast. You know what I mean? And it's almost like, and I would say that's like the highlight because it's like so much so fast, but at the same time, it's like real time. Like the next day, I went to this Airbnb with my former partner, and the next day we like drove out, went into the high peaks of the New Hampshire mountains, and just like got pizza, you know what I mean? It was like no big deal. You know, it was like perfect. At that moment, it was like you're so in the moment. You're so in the moment that time actually doesn't exist, you know. I think that was the most recent one. But there's some that like we played actually, believe it or not, at the ballroom in Sackett's Harbor for the Eclipse weekend. Mm-hmm. Dude, it was off the charts. And like it was so intense.
Where were you for the Eclipse?
We were in the Sackett's Harbor ballroom. Yeah.
You saw the eclipse in there? I mean, what are you?
No. Then we went, and that was the thing. So that eclipse weekend was probably the craziest thing.
Yeah.
We started Saturday in Sackett's Harbor, part of the big like festival, and we played at the Sackett's Harbor Ballroom in Sackett's, and it was off the charts. It was, the whole place was sold out, and people were going crazy, and it was, and the sound was intense. It was like a rock club, you know, just like, and then next thing you know, like you pull out of it, and we're at the boathouse, you know, like hanging out late night. The next day we went to Whiteface Mountain, and that was this year. I think the biggest moments have happened this year because we went to Whiteface the next day. We literally packed up out of Sackett's, out of the hotel, drove over to Whiteface, played the show. And we had this idea to have all these lights. So when the eclipse happened, it'd be totally black and we'd have all these lasers and lights. And we contracted them all out. We signed them up to have them happen. Yeah. Really? Yeah, on the backstage. And then right before the set happened, all the guys in the band like huddled up. We were like, no lights, no show. Like total darkness, total silence for the eclipse.
It was awesome.
Yeah. Right. And like my drummer, Josh, and his father were able to like hug and be together. My bandmate, Chris, and his father were able to, you know, be together, and like everybody separating their own way.
I mean, you know? Dude, I swear, I'm at Thompson Park. And I've seen one before. One came in South Carolina in 2017. I didn't get to see it, where I made it to was only partial, which still is still blacked out. Dude, but dude, the huge. Whole total one, dude. I mean, I didn't. It was surprisingly emotional.
Yes.
Like I just totally. Automatically was like in awe and like about cried. It was weird. It was really emotional.
Yeah. We had like, it, like, I think it's all kind of like, there's so many things that I could like say about like Annie and the Water shows, but it was like, it was either Brad and I or like myself and Josh or like Chris Meyer and myself and Matt, on keys or like all my band or Brock and I having a moment at 3 o'clock in the morning, looking up at the moon at like Alex Bay with nobody around. You know what I mean? Like there's it, the moments, a better or worse moment is a completely non-contextual because there's inherent value within what the proximity of your friendship or your emotional kind of context was there, or even the amount of people. In the volume of it or something.
Right. You know? I know what you're trying to say.
But it all leads into this thing. And I think this summer is probably the first one that was like something different has happened. You know, yeah. there's, it's like, you know, when like film tape, like the old film tape back, like the reels, you cut it, you splice it and you glued it together. Mm-hmm. It feels like that kind of happened only within a recent amount of time. You have a whole reel, but you just glued another reel on and you just started going with Annie in the Water at least. You know, so these shows have a completely different context now, you know, and that's why I'm really excited about the Brew York Festival this coming Saturday because, and even just seeing Jason and Quince in studio today and like you guys being here and doing this production, like there's just an excitement that I just feel like inherently, like it, you know what I mean? And that's really important. But you never want to put the wagon before the horse, you know, but I'm incredibly excited for this weekend. I really am.
Mike, if we don't stop it here, we're going to talk all night.
I agree.
All right?
Yeah. Yeah. I appreciate you, man.
Yeah, man. It's been great, dude. Like I said, dude, I want to stay in contact with you and keep it going because I love talking music and I love all kinds of different music. And I like seeing stuff happen, dude. Like, so really how I started this podcast was that Viggo Mortensen guy from Lord of the Rings found out he was from up here. And I was like, what else do I not know about this area?
You want to know a funny thing about Viggo Mortensen, me?
I would love to know a funny
next thing. Next episode, bro.
Yeah.
I'm serious. I'm serious. I have a beautiful story about him and I.
Well, look, I'm going to keep the podcast rolling for a minute while he shuts everything off and takes his pictures and stuff.
Well, this will be, So is this on tape or off tape?
This is on.
It's on tape? Okay. Yeah. I'll tell this story, actually. This will be the trickle out. We'll trickle out right now, yeah. So what happened was I did an event for his mother. They did a memorial for his mother. Who was Planned Parenthood, and I was glad to do it, Brad and I.
Right,
and this was 2015 or 16 or something like that. And my dear friend Janet, she put together and everything, and Viggo was there, and people were very excited and everything. And Brad and I played, and we played our hearts out, you know what I mean? But Viggo's brother was there, and he's a big Deadhead. And I was, like, really just trying to, like, vibe it out, you know? So his brother comes up to me, Viggo's brother, and he's stoked. He's, like, so. He's like, that was the shit, man. It's like Jerry and, like, everything and everything. Yeah. And then, but I'm a huge Viggo fan. Like, I'm a Viggo fan from, like, his Russian kind of
dude,
shit.
Dude, Eastern Promises.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Dude, and I'm talking, dude. Yeah, and not only that, but, like, or Lord of the Rings. And, like, I mean, like, there's so many. The Green Book, dude. Have you ever seen that?
I think so.
Oh, dude, it made me cry because it was real because I related to it because there was moments when I was on the road and I had to run back home to my mom and dad for Christmas. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, man, I will start crying. I'm not crying today, but that book, turn that movie. And I was like, Viggo, and that made me love him even more. But anyway, so his brother's talking to me about music and then Viggo comes up and he's like, I really appreciate it. And I like went to turn to him and I was like, this is the moment when Viggo and I have this thing.
Yeah.
And then I was like, yeah. And I kind of locked up and his brother goes, okay, yeah, whatever. And then there's like changes the direction. I was like, and I went over to his brother and then Viggo's like, okay, we got to go out the door. And like, they were gone. I was like, I was like, Viggo Mortensen is like, it, like not only like favorite actor, like not because he's from here, like he is fundamentally multi-dimensional favorite actor, you know?
Right.
And I'm not, but I happen to be from Watertown. I'm like, oh God. Darn it. I was like, I can't believe it, dude. I was like, and his brother's just like, oh yeah, yeah, okay, yeah, yeah, yeah. He's whatever. And I was like, that was my moment with Viggo Mortensen. But at the same time, I'm like, I always think about it, I'm like, Viggo and I will link back up because it's like, you know, creatives will be where they are and stuff like that. But it was just a funny one. I've seen his brother since.
Yeah.
And his brother is so eclectic and cool too. You know what I mean? Like, he's just as uniquely like his own like flavor of ice cream. You know what I mean?
So how does like jam bands and stuff kind of keep up? Because I was people talked about as a whole culture and all this. Like, I mean, how do you stay in the, like, is it a culture or how is that
going? I mean, yeah, is it, but
or is it just y'all get to festivals and it's just like
there's like the festivals, dude, and like, well, we're a jam band out of the North Country. Like, it's like the Tragically Hip of like, you know, Watertown. I'm not tooting my own horn. It's just like we're a different flavor out of a different area, you know. But we play festivals all over the country, man. But at the same time, like, we write a lot of songs. Like, we write a lot of songs that have nothing to do with, like, jam band music. So we... Oh, yeah, yeah. Like, that. Actually, I'll do like that. Yeah, so, like, we also have these songs that don't really fit the texture of, like, a jam band
some of your... I mean, flavor, dude, your you know? Music is... universal? Does that make sense? Like, it could fit in anything. Like,
yeah,
because the way y'all rock, and then y'all way you play, like,
we'll play country and roots music.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah. I mean, it's like it's almost like if I was to put out the kind of music that I listen to all into one band. You know what I mean? Does that totally. Make sense?
No, it's dude. You're like, you're hitting it because I don't know how to explain it. You know what I mean? Like, and I'm not trying to like say this in some sort of like infatuated way. Like, I don't know how to explain my own band. Right. You know what I mean? I just want there to be an opportunity for as much music to be happening as possible, whether it's from me or the piano player, or the percussion player, or the drummer, or the bass player, Brad,
right.
or anybody, you know, and you're right. It really, and I don't know how to actually explain it. Like, we say, it's like, I think we say it's like, and I don't even know that, flavor of what I'm supposed to say, like jam Americana indie rock band, but that's not it either. Yeah. You know what I mean?
And to listen, it's kind of like my theory. Now, I'm not like in the music industry, but I feel like country music nowadays is becoming like an American kind of music because you got Morgan Wallen's basically rapping, dude,
sure,
right? He's
sure.
basically rapping.
For sure.
And all the good guitar players are going that way, right? And then you just got, like, American-themed lyrics.
Yep.
Like
Americana-themed lyrics.
And so,
or like, what's going on? What's going
me,
on?
To me, that's right kind of, in a weird way, that's kind of how your band is, but a little bit more of the... jam flavor, you know what I mean?
I really appreciate you actually like sit down and actually kind of quantifying that, you know what I mean? Because I always tell people, I'm like, Annie in the Water is whatever the listener perceives. So anything that you're kind of coming up with, or anything that you're actually like perceiving or you're listening, that's your prerogative, you know?
Right.
And I really want that. That's at least for me as like a creator, like I really genuinely have that as an intention. I want it to be something that you have a connection to, or you have a prerogative about, or you have a sense of, you know, conviction towards, you know, because you build your own community. You come into the community and you might meet somebody and you might build a relationship, you know, just like we have right now. You know what I mean? Like, there's a reason why I was hoping to link up with you, and then you reciprocated, listened, and then said, this is what I have, you know?
Yeah.
And that's the whole point. It's a conversation. It's a music. It's a two-way road, you know? It's never this, like, this is what it is, and I don't ever want it to be that. Yeah. I feel like we're kind of force-fed things that are to say, this is the new fad, or this is the new thing, and for me, it feels like plastic, and I want Annie in the Water to feel as organically kind of rooted and rootsy, but also, like, just also non-judgmental and, like, open as, like, you'd ever want, you know? Like, I don't care. Like, you know what I mean? Like, Annie in the Water, I don't care. You know what I mean? Yeah. I don't care. And I just want it to be what it is. And I want it to mean what it is to me. And I'm going to come in and meet some friends in the meantime. You know what I mean? And I don't, and I'm, and I, Annie in the Water is not divisionary. It has nothing to do with a sense of a dichotomy. You know, it's not a balance point. Annie in the Water is, we want people to come together. We want them to collect. We want them to forget whatever things that divided them. And we want them to have a relationship within the music. We want them to have a sense of understanding of not only themselves, but a sense of inviting other people into their own field and their own sense of community and friendship so that they're able to relate to each other and connect. Like, it, I just feel like our music's intention is just to connect people, whether it's through relationship or something that happened or whatever. It doesn't matter. It's just about connecting people. And
it's,
that's
like the music of Carolina Chuck.
Done, dusted.
That's it.